The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show brewed in small batches with a select blend of hops. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Scope Sounds finally drops the beat. We review more things than we can comfortably handle. And one of the Scope cast is killed off in the season finale.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, this is episode 4, show 4 of The Scope. We are your hosts. I'm Shane. Once again, sitting next to me is Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Shane.
Foul mood Adam.
Very.
And our tactical wizard, he's microchips wrapped up in a fleshy covering. It's Jared.
You're exposing my sweet secret.
Yes, I know. Thank you for showing up today.
No problem. I should mention that this is actually recorded in my basement, so showing up isn't much of a challenge.
Well, you know.
Here I am.
Thank you for destroying the illusion. I appreciate that.
I am the dream smasher.
Well, if you can tell by the sound of all of our voices, there's a little bit of sadness in the air today. Why? Well, we're going through the...
Yeah, why?
Well, I'll tell you. Some season finales of some shows that happened this past week.
Are we going to spoil things?
Yes. Okay, right now, we're spoiling, so get ready, people. Last episode of That 70s Show, last episode of Will and Grace, and the OC Shocker.
Ooh.
Main character dies. Marissa is gone. Adam, your take.
I would not call her the main character. I kind of resent that. But I'm very happy about it otherwise. She was definitely dragging the show down.
Completely
her brilliant. Her plot line, I guess, was dragging the show down. And you know what? I don't like her. Just on a personal level.
She's a terrible actress.
Right.
Doesn't bring anything to the show. And you know what? Here's the thing. I know we have a lot of viewers out there, listeners, that really hate the fact that we talk about the OC and some of these other crazy shows. But, hey, we are well-rounded people. We aren't going to just watch Battlestar Galactica. We aren't going to watch the 4400.
I think only one of us watches that, right?
That's Battlestar Galactica? Yeah, that's Jared. So
yeah.
Jared is king nerd.
Represent.
Great.
So, yeah, Marissa's dead, and you know, Adam and I were talking about this earlier in the week. It's kind of disgusting to me that they take the worst actress of the show, kill her off, and then they bring in her sister, who is probably the second worst actress I've ever seen in my life, in like a mini version of her. So we're stuck with her at least for another 3 or 4 years.
Right. She's still around.
Yeah, very glib. So it really bothers me. And I don't know if I'm going to be sticking around with the show next year, Adam.
Wow.
I mean, I'll tune in. I mean, we've talked about this.
Right.
The kids are old enough now where they've graduated from high school. They're moving on to college. They're going to have some of them on the East Coast, some on the West.
Well, that's always
maybe.
That's always the challenge of the show once you take away the high school framework. Can it still succeed?
I still don't think that that they'll be on the East Coast. I still think that everyone will be in
they
Orange
being
County.
Summer and Seth. The only the two good kids of the show. The people that we relate to most as
because they're
as
not blonde. Kids.
Not blonde.
Right.
Kind of sarcastic.
There's three people on the show that aren't blonde. Sandy, Seth, and Summer.
Yes.
They're the best characters. Yep.
And Jared, will you with all this OC talk, will you be interested in this show, or you're done with it?
I think it's time. It's passed for me.
Well, we do have season
I think I watched one or two episodes when it first debuted because it was the big summer smash hit on Fox. You know, and all the advertisements. I decided to go check it out. But
it's really not worth getting into.
No, probably not.
Yeah, that's kind of what I decided. I have enough shows already.
And I'll keep... This is coming from someone that will keep watching it. I don't think it's worth getting into.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, is it worth getting out of?
it might be. We'll have to see. I mean, the show is at an interesting crossroads having this college thing. I mean, every single show that deals with teenage drama and graduating from high school, once they hit that college, you know, it's make or break. And I think every time it probably... bus and is not worth time. If you think about 90210, they had that. But they all went to the same college, right?
But that went on for a long time after college.
But, I mean, was it any good once they got out of high school? Right. I don't know. I didn't watch the show, so.
I think they did a decent job of at least giving them a shot at an adult life. They didn't dwell too much on the college. I think most of them dropped out for some reason.
They realized that we don't care about that.
It turned into just a standard evening soap then at that point.
Yeah. And then the other... more recent example would be Dawson's Creek, which the show completely train wrecked after they all went to college.
I had given up already by then.
Yeah, it was really terrible. Well, the wife stuck with it to the bitter, bitter end, and it was sickening and not all fun. So,
you know, I will say, speaking of Dawson's Creek, I watched the end of The Faculty, also written by Kevin Williamson.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday, for some unknown reason. And man, that's a really bad movie. It's awful.
Kevin Williamson got lucky with Scream and got lucky with the first few episodes of Dawson's Creek, and that's pretty much his
He's kind of fallen off the map, hasn't he?
Now, I know we'll talk more about it later when we talk about fall TV stuff, but I will say that there is a good chance that due to a conflict, I won't keep watching The OC next fall.
Oh, really? I will. Well, thanks for teasing that. Right. We'll get back to that.
Now you have to listen to the end of the show.
I'm intrigued, and I may have to start watching the show more closely just so I can talk about it like we're doing right now and really excite people. Anyway, well, let's move on from
the
OC. Before we get going to the supersized under the scope portion of the show, we've got to cover some ground that we talked about last week. I want to do a little E3 follow-up.
Ooh.
We talked about what we were looking forward to, you know, the big video game system announcements and that sort of thing. But, I pulled some audio from last week talking about us.
You did, huh?
Yes, I pulled it, not our technical wizard. And, I want to listen to us talk about price predictions for PS3,
We're going to listen to ourselves on our own show. I just want to clarify.
We're very self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent.
Okay.
We're glib. Will the PlayStation 3 be $400?
When it first comes out, I think so.
No more than that.
I think 400 will be the top end, yeah.
Okay. Will anyone be buying that right away?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, people wanted the Xbox 360.
I was talking about people in this room.
Oh, No.
I will say no, but I probably will because I am weak.
$400 is a lot to ask.
It is a lot. Well, we'll see. Yeah, 400 is a lot to ask.
You bastard. I didn't know you were going to pull that.
You didn't know that?
I was going to go back and re-edit before.
Well, you know, for those of you that don't know, the prices were announced at $500 for a core unit, similar to the cheap Xbox 360, and then $600 for a more advanced, bigger hard drive, a couple more inputs for high definition.
It's absolutely amazing.
$600. That's a lot of money.
And you know what? The only thing I care about on that would be the HDMI output.
What does that mean?
That's the high definition digital connection. I don't even have a television for it yet, mm-hmm. but... At some point, I probably will, and I want the digital connection.
That would be real high def, as opposed to what you use on your Xbox now when you're currently using component, probably?
Yep. Right.
Which is good, but it's not actually a digital connection.
No,
right?
It's not. It's an analog connection. It's still good, but it's an analog connection, you know, and everything is moving to digital connections, either DVI or HDMI, and I think it's really crappy of them to leave that off of the cheaper unit because they know anyone who cares about it is going to have to spend another $100.
So basically, the cheap unit is probably not going to sell very well. I mean, initially it will. The early adopters will buy what they can get. But, you know, the big difference between what Sony is doing and what Microsoft did is that with Microsoft, you could buy the core unit, and it's essentially the same thing. I mean, you can buy components to make it the advanced unit. With Sony, you can't do that. No. If you don't have those inputs you can get on the $600 model, you're never going to get them on the $500.
I think they've implied that you can upgrade the hard drive.
Yeah. What I read is you can upgrade everything except those ports. Everything can be upgraded.
Also, it's worth noting that before this, Sony did say that there would only be a single unit, so they went back on that. Also, even though I've shown that my predictions are pretty terrible, I think that... Microsoft has a good opportunity to introduce an updated 360 when the PS3 comes out, and if it had Blu-ray and HDMI in it for less, you know, I mean, everything the same otherwise, but upgrading those two pieces, they could probably, make the PS3 non-existent for this generation.
So let me ask, throw this around the room.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the big mistake that Sony's made that's going to drop them out of the top spot? I mean, they've been there for 10-plus years. Seems like every major system producer, they go through their moment of hubris. Sega did it. Nintendo sort of did it. Is this Sony's time to fall? Jared?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm inclined to say yes. I don't understand how they think them. I know that the video game audiences are getting older and they have more disposable income, but $500 or $600 for a gaming system. I know they want it to be more than that, but it's still the gaming system, and that's why people will buy it at first.
Yep,
is way too much to ask.
So, yes, Adam.
I mean, people were freaking out when the 360 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this, you know, it was at E3. There hasn't been any real mainstream news on it. You know, when the Xbox came out, or the 360 came out, it was like, you know, on the nightly news. You know, it was the big thing. The same thing is going to happen, when, you know, this, whatever, fall, winter, when the PS3 comes out. And they're going to talk about how crazy expensive it is. And with the Wii coming out at relatively the same time.
Yeah. I've heard rumors of 200.
200 to 250.
Yep.
And good likelihood that the 360 will drop in price.
Right.
So.
Do they need to?
They don't, but I think that it might be a nice little, like, shiv in the gut.
Look at us. We've been around for a year, and we've got our manufacturing costs down.
Yeah, we've got.
We could drop $50 off the price, or $100 bucks off the price.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that a good plan of action might be to drop the core unit and then maybe drop the price of the premium unit by $50.
That'd be a good move.
That
would be exciting.
Yep, get rid of the core unit. It's stupid. Yeah. And people are only buying it because they can't get the premium unit, which you can find pretty much both in stores now anytime you go.
It would wind up making things cheaper for them too, because then they're just producing one unit.
Exactly.
Yep.
So
perfect.
Sony out of their minds, we all agree that big mistake.
Right. And it's kind of funny. I was reading a lot of interviews during E3 where they talked about, there was one quote where one of the leads at Sony said that people would buy this even if it didn't play games. No, even if there are no games available at launch, that they would sell 5 million units.
And that's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah. So
douchebag.
And I mean, I get it. Yes, it's going to be a cheap Blu-ray DVD player. Mm-hmm. I agree. But, you know, other than college kids, who uses their PS2 as a DVD player?
Yeah. I mean, it was huge in Japan. That's what sold the format. Okay. But the thing is that there are people out there who have hundreds of DVDs, right? Standard DVDs. Are they going to want to go back and rebuy all that stuff? It took 20 years to go from VHS to DVD.
And the key point on that is most people don't have a television to even take advantage of high-definition formats.
And TVs are, they're dropping in price, but they haven't dropped that much.
No.
So and the fact that there's no established format. I mean, you've got high-definition DVD, and you've got Blu-ray, both competing for the same market and everybody's money. So, let's follow up with one more topic we talked about last week, which is the great debate of the original Star Wars on DVD.
Ooh.
Some new news came out hitting the internet, and it drove the geeks crazy. It's looking like those three movies will not be released in anamorphic widescreen. They will be released standard, which I don't know what that means, so Jared, please tell me.
Well, basically what they're doing is they're taking the Laserdisc transfers that they did for the Definitive Collection Laserdisc set, whatever it was, 1993, I think, and they then did some subsequent VHS and other Laserdisc releases from this. I mean, it was a very, very good transfer for its time, but it's been 13 years, and I think they can do a little bit better. And the lack of anamorphic video is a big deal for a lot of people who have these widescreen televisions that we just said that they don't have, but it's a future proofing thing. I mean, basically what it does is it's a way of squeezing a high resolution widescreen picture into a standard 4x3 video frame. What your DVD player does normally on a regular 4x3 television is it like cuts out every third or fourth line and squishes everything together so it fits. But if you have a widescreen television, suddenly it fills up, you know, with a nice clean picture. You can do that with a 4x3 transfer, but you're zooming it in and all you're doing is just increasing the digital artifacts and the dirt and everything else, and it's not very good. So basically they're just copping out.
Gotcha. So
they don't want to put any money into it at all. And that's the same reason it goes back to the Dolby Digital 2.0 soundtrack, which is exact copy of the soundtrack that was already available on that set as well.
So what is the reason for it? I mean, we talk about copping out. Is this just George Lucas trying to make the nerds angry? I mean, does he get his jollies off of reading the nerd outrage on the internet? Or, you know, is there another reason for it? Will these movies be re-released sometime down in the future with a better transfer?
I have my theory on this is this.
He's got a theory, Adam.
He's doing this as a I am listening to my fans. Look at what I'm doing. I'm putting it out. But secretly, since he's packaging it with the new versions, he gives people the chance to look at them side by side, and they see this really terrible old transfer and not, you know, good sound on the original versions, and then they see the brand new spanking shiny deluxe action adventure version with its anamorphic video and its updated cleaned up print and its beautiful 6.1 surround sound, and they go, maybe this one isn't so bad, and they start to accept it. that's just what I think he's doing.
Adam, what do you think? Don't care? Not that big of a deal to you?
I like how everyone's getting angry about it. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I don't. I personally don't care that much myself.
I don't care, and yeah.
Whatever. I don't. At this point, if it's going to be that transfer, I'm not. I probably won't buy.
Jared will not buy.
What's the point? I own the Laserdiscs. Why do I need to buy the same transfer on a DVD?
I might be suckered into buying it. We'll see the feeling is when it comes out. What about you, Adam? Forget it. You don't buy a lot of DVDs anyway.
And you more than make up for it by buying every... how are those Brady Bunch DVDs working
They're
out?
Great.
Yeah, they're still
great.
In the plastic?
No, I've actually unwrapped them. Okay. Wow, look at he's going after me.
No, tacky. I won't. There's no chance I'll buy it.
Okay.
Zero.
Fair enough.
Not hot.
One more follow-up from last week. Actually, it's a continuing bit.
Ooh.
Bit.
Adam and kickball.
Let's get ready for kickball!
I don't like that it's a bit, because that makes it seem fake.
Well, it's real.
It's real
life. It's a segment.
It's real life. So, Adam, it's been 2 weeks. You've had two games, I guess. How did they go? Are we winning, losing, what?
So I guess last show we had played one game, mm-hmm. right, which we lost. Following week, we played another game, and we won.
Remember the name of the team that you beat?
That week was Pirate Kickball, which we feel is a cop-out in terms of names. It's like the Pirates. Yeah, there's already a baseball team named the Pirates.
We need something cute or fruity or
exactly.
nerd clever.
Or a pun, I guess.
Nerd clever.
So we beat them, mostly because they had a terrible name, I think, that pushed us over the edge. We won by one run. I think we won 5-4.
Nice.
So that's when they had, I think, two runners on at the bottom of the seventh inning, which is the last inning in kickball, and we got the final out with them having a good chance to win. So it was exciting.
Congratulations.
And then last week, we played the Sugar Magic Ponies, who are my favorite team because of their name and because they have a St. Bernard that they bring to the game.
Wow. This is absolutely not gay.
Who's very nice. So...
Did he have a little barrel full of rum?
Put in there.
He did not.
Because he saves people in the Alps.
This game, we might have found a flaw in our previous drinking schedule. We went out for happy hour before the game.
Ooh.
Right. And then we continued drinking during the game. So, which is expressly against league rules. But I don't think anyone really cares. As long as no one's...
And I hope no one from the league is listening.
Right. Right.
It was the commissioner at the game.
I'm worried now.
Well, there'll be fines handed down.
Well, I'll just say that we play for a different league. Because there's a few different
teams. Yeah, we won't.
They'll never know.
Yeah. Sugar Magic
right,
Ponies.
Exactly.
Many, many teams with that name.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is why, but we lost in the bottom of the seventh inning this time because one of our very good players dropped a fly ball, which would have been, it would have only been the second out of the inning, but him dropping that allowed it was tied going into that inning.
Completely tanked it.
But it was a lot of fun, and it's so much different than last year with softball, where it was just depressing. In every game, we were getting just destroyed. And I mean, this, you know, we could lose every game by one run, and I'd still have 42 times as much fun this year than I did last year.
42 times.
Yes,
as long as you have something to say about it, this is continuing. This will happen year after year after year.
Right. So
good story.
That was it. Nothing. If I had known we were going to keep talking about it, I would have taken notes and pictures.
I think you had plenty to say on the subject.
Oh, okay.
Did just fine.
Yeah.
I'll take pictures going forward. How
fantastic.
About that?
Yeah. Maybe we'll post them up on the website.
That's why I would take pictures.
Oh, I thought you were just going to share them with us.
Yeah.
I don't care about you guys.
Woo!
Well, let's get this show going, guys. I think we've covered just about enough. This is our supersized Under the Scope. So what does that mean to the average listener? It means more news... More reviews, all the stuff everyone talks about when they listen to this show. Slightly. But yeah, we'll be covering a lot of different stuff this time around. We've got movies, music, DVDs, and the random review of the week. So let's get this show started. We'll be back right after this.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
Let's listen in as friends and family of the Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, I'm Sarah. I've known Jared and Shane for a long time, nearly 15 years. We've all changed, but we remain close. But then there's Adam. Adam. Who the hell is this guy? I've only met him a few times, but I have to be honest, I don't trust him. There's something about him that I just can't figure out. His shiftiness, the way his eyes dart around a room, the way he looks like the cops are going to bust in at any minute. And let's be honest, his body scent certainly doesn't help. So, this warning goes out to you, Adam. I'm watching you. And when I figure you out, you are going down. Hard. You're listening to The Scope.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
It's been all up-tempo rock so far here on Scope Sounds, so it's about time we do as Tony asked and drop that beat. Thanks to Adam and Jess for suggesting this week's song. This is Laser Love with Secret Code, East Side Pride, here on The Scope.
Type beat, seller rhymes he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Type beat, seller rhymes he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. B, A, select, star. This is the secret code to my heart. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. B, A, select, start. This is the secret code to my heart. Get off your high horse and pry up in your eyes. Leave the lovers here to prioritize. When you're back for St. James, there's no compromise. My style ice cold, my lyrics pulverized. If you're looking at me funny, we can take us outside. No side, south side, it don't matter what side. Just as long as you bring that homegrown prime love, love one time. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Up, up, down, down, left, right, P, A, select, start. This is the secret code to my heart. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start. This is the secret code to my heart. Locks lost alone, I'll take it over the top. I'll flip my hat like a switch, let the hip hop. And like my man Theo, I take it on stride. Took my prom date on a helicopter ride. So if you think it's tough, make it happen right here. Punch you in the face, knock you into next year. There's a level zone, so you better get with it. Stop the press, I know, could just print it. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizzy Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Up, up, down, down, left, right, P, A, select, start. This is the secret code to my heart. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start. This is the secret code to my heart. Never won little lotto and I'm still a winner. Lyrics so hot, I'll serve them for dinner. Gonna live to be 100, I've been saying it for years. New to this rhyme game, still wet behind the ears. Mass appeal, slug hooks, crowd control. Can never sit back, play them on a roll. I wear many hats, refuse to choose one. I'll see you at the top, time one-on-one. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride. Type beat, seller rhymes, he will provide. I was on the clock, working 9 to 5. DJ Lizard Lovers on your side, so put your hands up and give him East Side Pride.
Now, back to Shane. And who are those other guys?
Under the Scope. Hoo-ha. It's news, folks. Under the Scope news. Adam.
Hello.
Take the show over, brother.
All right. Good. Finally. The good stuff.
We've been waiting.
All right, so we've got 3 news items, and I think we did a good job kind of being diverse, you know, part of that equal opportunity program that we've been working on here.
Absolutely.
On the show.
We love to make everyone happy.
I didn't get that memo.
Oh. That's because you're white.
Oh.
So the first one is might come as a surprise to some people. It's a football related story.
What?
Right. I kind of liked it because it kind of perfectly encompasses who we are, because it involves both nerds and football. Because, like I said, a lot of people I think don't know, but we like football.
All three of us, we love it.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Mm-hmm. It is.
Goes great together.
I don't think it's anything like, because both of those are things you eat, whereas nerds and football are things that
you eat.
Given the right circumstances.
Right.
What's that story about, Adam?
All right. It's a story about Chicago, and so it also relates to you guys, since the Bears are in the same division as the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about that aspect, but
no, we do.
So, yes. Newly signed Chicago Bears cornerback Ricky Manning Jr. and two of his friends that are former UCLA Bruins football players were charged with assault last Thursday for allegedly,
right? Meaning they did it,
taking part in a fight in a restaurant back in April. So apparently the. What was originally released about this is that they beat up a guy in, I think it was a Denny's, that was using his laptop because he was a nerd. So what we have here are football players beating up nerds, and then I don't know who wins in the end because
he knows how to operate a computer. He's
yeah.
a nerd.
Yeah, right. I beat up anyone using iPods, video games, Magic the Gathering. Yeah. Card decks.
I saw a man plug in a toaster once. The hell out of them.
I've heard that guy on playing on the laptop was doing Warcraft stuff, by the way, Adam. That's what I read.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so now I'm scared.
He's coming to get you.
You should be.
It's important to mention that famous people such as Dave Chappelle play World of Warcraft.
Not hot.
Chappelle's a wacko.
Right. I guess in the end, though, maybe the football player wins, since he's getting paid millions of dollars. And
might make right, makes right.
Unless he actually, does time. Gets cut from the team, yeah. And then suddenly he's out of the NFL.
That guy is a whack job, though. Right. I mean, he has a history of negativity. I think he's on parole.
Is he glib?
He is fairly glib.
You're glib.
And, just kind of circling back. For all of our listeners out there, I think once football season starts, we will be talking about that on a regular basis. Adam is a huge Redskins fan. Jared and I tend to go for the Minnesota Vikings.
Tend to.
And the first game of the season?
Who's playing?
First Monday night football game. Yeah. Vikings-Redskins.
Redskins. Perfect. So there's going to be some anger in the studio. Right.
There might be violence. Shane and I will try to run some plays. Adam will try to defend, yep. And we'll probably fail.
And it will end in fisticuffs.
Right. None of us know what those are, so it'll be interesting. We'll have to look it up in the dictionary.
Are those things that keep your shirts closed?
Those are fisticuffs. Oh. Adam, is there any more news?
Yes. Great story about everyone's favorite Pat Robertson.
Oh,
I love him. Right. I had him over for dinner once.
God told him.
Didn't bring wine.
He brought water, though.
Not even in a box?
Sorry, keep reading.
It's all right. God has told him that storms and a possible tsunami will hit America's coastline this year.
Yes.
Now, storms hitting a coastline, I don't know that you really need God to tell you that, right? So, kind of weird.
That tends to happen on a yearly basis.
What do you think? Right. What do you think that sounded like, God talking to Pat? Yes.
I don't know. Are you trying? Trying to get me to do my great?
Well, it's probably sound a little bit like this, Pat. Storms are coming, Pat.
This sounds very much like Real Genius. That's good.
Oh, yes.
Kent?
What was that guy's name? Kent?
Ken? I think it's Ken.
Ken, yeah. I'm talking to you, Ken.
This is God. Ken, stop masturbating.
Pat, you need to go get a value meal at McDonald's, Pat.
So some other famous things that Pat Robertson has said. We should assassinate Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
And that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's stroke that he had last year was divine retribution for Israel's pullout from the Gaza Strip.
Wow.
So he's pretty much not crazy at all.
He also said support Brett Ratner for X-Men 3 as well.
That
he came
mother.
I know. That's the thing that should be making all of you geeks out there angry.
Oh, yeah.
He came in support of Brett Ratner.
It all comes back. Right there. Two, and it all leads into a great story about Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry is a flip-flopper, by the way. She's very, John Kerry. So there's two news stories that both came out on the exact same day, or maybe, one day after another. the first where in an interview, Halle Berry says that she's tired of doing superhero movies. Of course, she's been in three X-Men movies now, once this next one comes out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she played Catwoman in Catwoman.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that was a mistake.
That was a huge mistake.
Wait, on whose part?
The entire film industry. Okay.
Colossal failure.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon Stone, villain in that movie.
Yes.
I mean,
it's very strange.
Much like in real life.
How do you sell that to anyone? Anyway, sorry, Adam.
So I think she's kind of a camera whore. That's my theory on this.
Well, she's a former model, so
right.
It's not surprising.
You know, in this interview, saying things such as, it's not fun to play a woman that does nothing. And if I'm only on camera for 5 minutes, that's fine. But let it be a meaningful 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, just
I
from
say
the,
topless.
Right.
Wow.
That's meaningful to us.
Well, watch Swordfish.
The trailers.
That's what she said.
The trailers I've seen make it seem like she's in more than 5 minutes of the movie.
Of what?
That's actually her entire screen time right there in the trailer.
Of what? X-Men 3?
Of X-Men 3,
I've heard that she used some of her clout.
To get
that
more.
She will be a main storyline in that movie.
Well, I mean,
or she wouldn't
but
be
her
in
character
it.
Should be, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but what they're doing, I'm hearing they're kind of maybe setting up a little bit of romance with Wolverine. I'm not quite sure, but ties her into the main storyline a little bit more.
Huggy Jackman?
Yeah, Huggy Jackman.
So the next day, there's a story titled
X-Men
3 May Not Be the Last Stand, hints Barry. That's, of course, a play on words from the movie's title, X-Men 3 The Last Stand. Right.
That's very clever
it
from
is.
Our wow. friends at AP.
In this interview, she says, there's no real significant talk about it, but I think if this one did well and it warranted a fourth one, I would be there. And
that's code for if the paycheck is right,
right.
I'll be there. And my contract has lapsed, but we can talk.
And I'm guaranteed certain amount of screen time. And if another great X-Men film came along, I could probably change my plans. Yep. Because what else has she done lately?
She did win an Oscar for Monsters
an ostrich.
Ball.
She won an ostrich. In Oxford.
She actually has an emu farm as well.
Whoa.
No.
She was in Gothica.
Gothica. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I mean, she's done some decent roles, but she's also done some total crap.
I've personally have never seen Monsters Ball.
Nor have I.
I have.
And but I have seen a number of different Halle Burr movies.
Halle Burr.
And I've hated her in everything she's been in.
Including the Flintstones movie?
Especially the Flintstones.
What about the Bond film, Tomorrow Never, what the hell was
Jinx,
it called?
Jinx, the character she played in that one?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not good.
Was that the one with, no, that was the one where it's all icy and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they had the ice car and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I find her to be absolutely repulsive from an acting standpoint. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Is she soulless?
She is soulless. But, you know, she just doesn't impress me. I've never understood the hype surrounding Halle Berry.
You're glib.
Boy, a lot of use out of that one today.
Sorry.
Come at me. So, yeah. And, speaking of, you know, her flip-flopping, I got the new Entertainment Weekly, and Halle Berry was interviewed, and she said, I'm sure there will be more stories to tell from both the X-Men and Storm, but more than likely, I will not be a part of that. So, I've always been of the opinion that Angela Bassett should have been cast as Storm. And
with all of her hubris, will she be attacking the Pacific Northwest this season?
Probably. That's what Pat Robertson was talking
about.
So. Anyway, yeah, X-Men 3 does open next weekend, too, so we'll get to see
I would
her
like to
firsthand.
I watched Ebert and Roper this weekend, as I do every weekend for some reason, and they both gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, so the review is out.
They had an early review, and they both gave it a thumbs up.
Well, it's a movie I want to like. I mean, I liked the first two. I thought they've just gotten better, but boy, you know, Brett Ratner,
yeah,
frightening. Anyway, so, yeah, that's the end of Halle Burr. Is there any more news?
Well, there's kind of news. Of course, this week, the last week of sweeps of the fall to spring season.
That's the sweeps is the time in which TV networks pull out all their best shows, most exciting episodes, and then they
advertising
they use it for advertising rates for
exactly.
You.
Now, this is a curious
people
question.
Out there.
For advertising rates that they determine during May, when do those go into effect in the fall?
I don't know how it follows through, but I mean there are four periods for sweeps, so
right.
It, I don't know. I mean it could either be the corresponding period for the next year, or it could just be right away. My guess would be right away because that's the data they would want to use. But
right.
Anyway,
it's probably until the next sweeps period.
Yep, probably.
Yep. So what happens this week is all the networks announce their upfronts, which are their the shows that they've picked up and that they didn't pick up, and then their schedules. So we've kind of had a tumultuous week of seeing, you know, what's getting picked up, what's not getting picked up.
Mm-hmm. Ups and downs, highs and lows.
Right.
I think surprises.
My favorite part before we get into it is that the Scope single-handedly brought down Hope and Faith.
Thank you.
Hope and Faith, not on CBS's fall 2006 schedule.
ABC's schedule.
See, I didn't even know.
Nope, nobody even
was
picked
on.
It up. Is
right.
What you're saying?
Right.
If we do only one thing in our in our short time in the podcasting landscape, it will be destroying Kelly Ripa and Corky from what's that show?
We Do Good.
Yeah,
30 something.
No. From Murphy Brown.
Oh, I thought you meant the other Corky.
Sorry. Yeah, not the not the poor mentally.
Right. I was like, what did he do to
guy.
You?
Anyway. Life goes on. Anyway, upfronts. Line it up.
Right. So the wonderful site, The Futon Critic, actually has the entire schedule laid out, so you can see what you can get mad about. Not
in
being
like
able
a grid
to see.
Format.
In a grid format.
Good.
Sweet.
So
I started laying out my TiVo schedules for
exactly.
The fall.
I've already done that.
Give us some highlights and lowlights, Adam.
All right. Well, let's see. Monday nights. I will yet again not be able to watch How I Met Your Mother because Prison Break is on up against that.
Oh.
One interesting thing though is that they have Prison Break only as a fall to winter show, and I don't know if that means that it will come back at the very end of 2007.
What that tells
spring.
Me is they're expecting something to fail at some point, and then they'll move the schedule around,
right?
And bring it back in the spring.
I kind of don't like that because I think a lot of people liked the Prison Break 24 lineup that they've had since January.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Right.
But, I mean, that kind of schedule worked for Prison Break this year, I guess. I mean, they went up through October and didn't come back to March. Mm-hmm. So,
and that was lucky though because they weren't sure if it was going to come back. So, right. I mean, it just kind of was a random happy
true,
accident.
But why not try to repeat that success? But,
agreed. Right. What else?
And then of course Monday Night Football, which I think twice this year will conflict for me. But
devastating.
I'm okay with that. Tuesday night, big stuff is that the CW, which is the merged networks of UPN and WB.
Or as you call it, the QA.
The QA, the right. QA. They should have just called it the Q.
Well, they have a colorful mascot?
No, their logo is actually pretty bland.
Yeah, it looks like the old American Bandstand logo, actually.
Kinda.
Really simple. Yep. Not a great design solution. Thank you.
Not hot.
They actually have Veronica Mars following Gilmore Girls, which I think is really good. I don't know if we've talked about it much on the show or at all. No. I love Veronica Mars, probably...
It's a lot of people to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. But not enough because it's probably one of the lowest rated shows on TV.
Hasn't been canceled.
Right.
I love it so much that I have the first season DVD, but I've never watched it.
You never
and Adam watch. Hates me for it.
I do. I punch him in the throat
much
every
like
day
action
about
figures,
it.
You don't take them out of the box.
Scope listeners, if you want me to watch Veronica Mars, send us some comments begging me to watch it over the summer. I just might. Because Adam doesn't convince me of anything.
The reason I think this is good is because they ordered 22 episodes of Veronica Mars, but have the option, the network has the option to only show 13, which means the show would get canceled because low ratings. But the fact that they're pairing it with Gilmore Girls, which was in its demographic for the WB, one of their higher rated shows, is a good sign to me.
And to recap, I'm the only Gilmore Girls watcher here. Correct.
I think so.
I'm
yes.
actually kind of partial Gilmore Girls, but it's on our television every Tuesday night.
Season they're going into their seventh season. There's no chance I will ever watch it because that would be too much to catch up. House is the only thing for me that conflicts with Veronica Mars. I've seen two episodes of House now. Actually, kind of interesting. But
I enjoy it immensely.
Jared Bickman.
I mean, he's snarky and sarcastic, and that's good.
Mm. Oh yeah,
but
it's like watching your dad.
I could just I mean
growing up, Adam.
I could do that myself. So. That's fine for me.
Can you solve medical mysteries as well?
That's what I mean. I do that while being snarky.
Perfect.
With
I'm doing it right now.
And a limp.
Why don't you have a network show?
I do. That's
you do?
We got picked up. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, wow.
Or
wow.
I did. Anyway, you
we
guys.
Better be finding a new
you guys are
getting co-host.
Cut loose. So. Yeah. Wednesday nights, just so you guys know, I know there was a lot of worry about this. George Lopez and According to Jim were picked up.
Oh, thank God.
Heavens. That's great.
That's now.
Craptastic hour.
That will now be Lost, what comes before Lost.
Oh, my.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think they're happy about that?
In 2007, anyway. I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
It hurts too much.
It does.
It hurts too much. Thursday nights. Big shake-up on Thursday nights,
right.
I hear.
Not for me. the big thing. I know there's like Survivor for you guys and American Idol for Shane. Actually, no, I guess American Idol's not on.
No, it's Tuesday, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday, that's right. But for me, my continued problem, this was my problem earlier this year, is that I can't watch Smallville because Smallville is on at the same time as My Name is Earl and The Office. Earlier this year, Smallville was on a different night where it conflicted with something else. And a
lot of conflicts.
Right. I don't know why they would move Smallville to Thursday night. They wanted to get destroyed, I think.
Well, it's been on Thursday night.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe on
Moved their last season or the season before.
Okay.
And way to research, Adam. Head in the game, brother.
I must be thinking of the beginning of the season when Earl and The Office were on
a different night. Tuesday night.
Right. Okay.
Probably.
And then, so, right, the thing we were going to talk about earlier. See, now everyone's being caught up. The OC, Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern.
I call it the OC.
The OC.
On at the same time as Grey's Anatomy, which I've decided will be one of the shows I watch this summer.
And the new NBC show.
Yeah.
From Aaron Sorkin.
Studio 60.
That's the show I'm looking forward to most this year.
I had never, I didn't know that that's what that was.
From creator of The West Wing and Sports Night.
Well,
that's Saturday Night Live.
Good cast. Good
type behind the scenes inspired thing.
A lot of problems.
Yeah, I think even in our house where we have three DVRs going, we're going to have some conflicts that night.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Friday.
Friday nights, if you're at home on Friday and you're not playing World of Warcraft, you're a loser. So I don't even talk about... Nothing's on Friday. I mean,
No,
who cares?
The Ghost Whisperer or Deal or No Deal. That's your biggest conflict right there.
I say
no conflict. My friend's kid says, yes deal or no deal.
Friday night is for catching up on shows that you recorded earlier in the week.
Exactly.
That's right.
Saturday, again, Napping. There's nothing. There's, you know, Dateline will, of course, be catching... pedophiles.
Yeah.
And cops. Wall-to-wall cops.
They'll be catching cops? What?
No. Cops will continue to go.
With hillbillies getting tasered.
And do we have
like my house.
Do we have that sound clip?
No.
I wish we did.
We have this.
great.
Tom Cruise being tasered.
And then Sunday nights, whatever. Nothing. The only real
Simpsons, Family Guy, that there.
Well, that's always been there.
Okay.
The only big shakeup there is that NBC now has Sunday night football.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know what was on Sunday nights before on NBC. Probably Movie of the Week stuff.
West Wing was on there, and that's done. And gosh, what else was on? I think at like Law and Order Special Victims Unit or Criminal Intent.
One of the 18 Law and Orders.
One of those was on there.
It was Criminal Intent. Well, now that you mentioned that.
Let's quickly circle back to that Thursday night thing. I wanted to ask you guys what you think about the ABC move of Grey's Anatomy, just in terms of a strategic plan.
Strategery. Right.
Is it going to fail? Is it something where it's going to retain its audience? I mean, because it does quite well.
And it's going up against the new NBC show and CSI?
It goes up against CSI, that Studio 60 show, The OC, and Supernatural, which I don't think conflicts. You know, I think that's a different audience altogether.
But. Yeah.
But the other ones, I mean, those are all kind of the same audience.
Yeah. I mean, they're really...
ABC is clearly desperate. They have a couple of hits, but then everything else... is doing terrible.
Well, you know, they actually, Jared, they are the only network that had higher ratings this year overall.
True.
But I mean, that's,
but
not
that's because they've had
thing.
Like they've had huge hits like Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy, and Lost is still doing well.
Right.
But a lot of their other stuff has not.
I mean, it seems like all their ratings are, you know, five shows.
Tie.
Yeah.
Home Improvement show, come on.
Right.
Six shows.
What's that? Well, that's, shot, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a Sunday night show. Right. Well, we'll have to see how it goes.
Luckily for me, I only have one show to watch that night.
Fantastic. No problems with you then.
No.
Well, thank you for the news. Is there anything else, Adam?
It must be nice to only have one show to watch.
Yeah.
is it. That is it for the news.
Well, let's kick this up to the review section. I don't know what I was going to say there. I just lost it. Great. Sorry, guys. We've got a few albums. We've got television. We've got movies. And Adam is going to...
That was the Apollo Theater crowd, by the way, booing you off the stage.
Big hook. That guy comes out. Adam's going to start it off with, I think, the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yes, I am. So Red Hot Chili Peppers released a double album called Stadium Arcadium. 23 years into their successful career, this is their ninth LP, which I call album.
The long player.
Right. Shane says it's eagerly awaited, but I don't really think that's the case. The ambitious two-disc sets produced by Rick Rubin contains 28 tracks that attempt to consolidate everything that the Chili Peppers, from early funk and soul style balladry to salsa. Whoops.
Preparation is good, Adam. Read ahead of time.
The first single, Danny California, falls somewhere in the middle of kind of where the Chili Peppers have always been, kind of mellow alt rock. Just another way to survive. Another standout track on the album, Torture Me, picks up the tempo and tones down the Kiedis rap. Torture me and torture me.
That's a horn.
It's a very big bandy. Stadium Arcadium will certainly satisfy the Chili Peppers fans, but will it resonate with the rest of us, Shane?
Adam, I'm not sure if it will. This was an album that I was kind of looking forward to listening to when we decided to review it, but getting into it, there's like 28 tracks and there's a lot of music. And a lot of it tends to sound the same.
Would you call the era of the double album over?
Right, I think
the double LP is over.
I think he proclaimed that in '74. Yep. when it was.
It's over. I appreciate a band that wants to go out there and be really productive and really make a statement. But let's see, the Foo Fighters did this last year with their double album, which at least was conceptual in the sense it was half acoustic, half rock.
True,
but it didn't really work. There was too much fluff on there, and I think the same thing goes with this Stadium Arcadium. There are a few good tracks in there. But it's a lot. There's a lot of tracks that sound alike. And there really are a lot of tracks that sound kind of like everything the Chili Peppers have ever done. There's really no push for something new and, I don't know, innovative. They're really trying to appeal to their fan base. And sure. Their fan base over the years. I mean, they've been around for 20, 25 years or whatever it said in there. So, you know, they've got a lot of fans. And I think a lot of fans expect different things from them. But, you know, I think that big fans of this group will like the album, but I'm not a big fan. What do you think, Adam?
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Of them in general.
Yeah. So.
So, nothing.
Forget
I got
nothing.
No.
Okay.
I got no comments to say. I have not liked them since ever. I think I remember being in middle school. Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out. I just completely dated either myself or you guys.
Both.
and not understanding why everyone liked them. So that's why I will never listen to the Chili Peppers.
Right. Wow.
And because Anthony Kiedis is a racist.
There we go.
I might have just made that up. I don't know.
Now, I was introduced to the Chili Peppers when in my teens by a musician friend, and he gave me Mother's Milk to listen to. So I was like, this was back in their really funky days, and I thought it was incredible. I loved it. Magic Johnson, that song was just, I loved it. And then I think they've, you know, made a nice progression over the years. As a fan of the Chili Peppers, I like this album. I mean, as you said, Shane, it's a lot. It's kind of everything that they've done over the years, those styles, and they've gotten a little bit of everything on there. I think it's too much. I think you're better off weeding it down to, you know, 14 or 16 of the best
good
tracks,
one disc,
and putting out one disc, and maybe you save the rest for B-sides if they even do B-sides anymore, or you find some other way to release that material if you really want to, but it's too much. But I mean, there are some really good songs on there. Torture Me, I think, is my favorite one. I really like the horns, and there's actually another song I don't remember the name of, but it sounded like they had like harpsichord in there.
Wow.
And I like that they're doing some new instrumentation, but yeah, it's not a great album, but as a fan, I really did enjoy it.
All right. Well, let's get a score on this bad boy.
The Soap score is 2.25 stars.
So we're above average, but nothing that's going to blow it out of the park. But yeah, let's move on to the next album, see if it can do any better.
Next album is the latest release from Snow Patrol called Eyes Open. It's the follow-up to Final Straw, I think, which was released in 2004.
Mm-hmm. Late 2004.
Late 2004. Snow Patrol, for people that don't know, I was introduced to them fairly recently. They are compared frequently to Coldplay, I guess, which I kind of have a problem with because they're, I think, I don't know, more rocky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
But they're, you know, kind of a melodic, I think an indie pop rock band is probably the best way to describe them.
With accents.
Right. I've actually never heard their accents. Are they British?
They're Irish.
Irish, okay. A lot of
maybe Scottish.
A lot of longtime fans of the
are they Manx perhaps?
A lot of longtime fans of this of the band are absolutely appalled by this album. I at first found myself really enjoying it, and kind of still do. But just to give you guys some insight as to what other people are calling it, a cross between the Goo Goo Dolls and Train.
Ooh.
From Billboard magazine.
Wow,
right. Pop Matters, which is one of my favorite websites about all stuff pop, say that they're Gary Lightbody, who is the lead singer and main songwriter for the band, that they're aiming for the MySpace generation, which kind of hurts me. Hmm. Because it makes me not want to enjoy the enjoy it. I mean,
or enjoy MySpace maybe.
Right. The common consensus is that now that Final Straw was their first album to make any real noise, it went double platinum.
Mm-hmm.
They had Run, which was a huge radio hit, and Chocolate, which was, I think, on the OC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so
a minor alternative radio hit.
Right. That was my favorite from mm-hmm. that album.
Mm-hmm.
That they've kind of sold out, and that it's a very hollow album, and that they don't try anything new. And while on one hand I can kind of agree with that, I find the songs very enjoyable.
Yeah.
The first one we're going to listen to is a clip from the song Headlights. I pull up thorns from our ripped bodies and let the blood fall. As I was, you know, going through the album a few extra times, I kind of noticed that, I mean, I kind of was able to pick up on what other people were saying about it. A lot of it's kind of trite, in terms of lyrically it is. The music, while I guess I can see how some things are hollow, it's still very, it's very well put together, and so maybe that means it's too radio friendly, you know, and it's, and all that, but it's, I went back and listened to some of the pre Final Straw stuff, and it's not like they've ever had, you know, music that people couldn't easily get into.
Sure.
To begin with. Another one that I think it's going to be their second single from the album is Beginning to Get to Me. Lash out first at all the things we don't. Beginning to get to me, but I know more of the stars and sea than I do of what's in your head. Barely touching in our cold bed. So you kind of get the idea. They're kind of sweeping grandiose songs. Mm-hmm. To some extent.
I think you're reading my notes.
Yes, I might be.
Quick, lush. Let me talk soon.
Grandiose. I like using words that sound like I don't know what they mean. My favorite song on the album we're actually going to listen to, because it's impossible to find an adequate clip to it. But if anyone out there has the album and isn't listening anymore, or they don't like it, or they do, I think that Open Your Eyes is worth listening to again and again and again.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It kind of gets better each time. But the last clip, kind of a little different from the other ones. Just kind of wanted to give people a good idea of the diversity of the album, is a song called Hands Open. It's hard to argue when you won't stop making sense, but my tongue still misbehaves and it
Current single on the radio, by the way.
Oh, that one is. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, if you listen to the album enough, I think it kind of goes up and down in waves of, I really like it, and okay, I'm kind of bored with it. And that's how it was for me anyway. So I think that my review kind of just, it kind of matched that, whereas like I was trying to find a happy medium of where I was.
All right.
I don't know anything of Snow Patrol prior to their last album, and I was remiss in not actually listening to that to compare it to this current one, but I really like this album. I thought it was, I like the big sound, the density of the tracks, and one thing that I noticed is a lot of their tracks have a very, very straight ahead 4/4 driving rock beat behind it, and I don't know, it really resonated with me. I really liked that. It just felt like it was really moving along. So, as I've said before, I listen to music first and lyrics secondary. I haven't quite gotten to the lyrical content yet, but musically, I really enjoy this. They're not afraid to use some reverb and some layering on the tracks, and I just found that to be really, really delightful.
Yeah, I think they do try to do a few different things compared to what they had in Final Straw, especially that Hands Open song. Considering that's their first single off of this album, it's definitely a departure from the more, I hate to say Coldplay, but I mean, it's of that big anthem type music where we're really trying to hook in with the pop and maybe a little guitar. So I think that was an interesting choice. And I didn't like it initially when I first heard it, but definitely listening to it a couple times in preparation for this review, I think that it stands up. I fall somewhere in between the two of you. I mean, I like the album. I wasn't completely wowed by it. It was more of a situation where there'd be a few songs I would like, a few songs I wouldn't and would, and kind of back and forth. But, you know, overall, I think it's a pretty good album. I do want to talk a little bit about this internet buzz about being a sellout. That just bothers the hell out of me when people talk about bands selling out. You know, I think that overall bands are going to do what they want to do. And if they happen to make songs that appeal to a broad group of people, it doesn't necessarily mean the song is terrible. Now, a lot of times it does. I mean, you think about like a Christina Aguilera or some of that stuff where a lot of people liked it, but it was absolutely miserable to listen to. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for a song or for an album that appeals to a mass group of people. I mean,
sure.
If that were the case, then U2 would be a hack band. So,
which they are.
Which they are.
Wow.
There we are. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That wraps up the review, but we are missing the score. Maestro.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
Did we do a score for the Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Okay. I'm completely out of it.
You're so into the reviews
so
that you
above don't average.
Above okay. average, yep.
Good.
So now we move on to...
I will say that I think that Final Straw was slightly better than this one.
I probably would agree with that.
Okay.
Well, you know, we here at The Scope, we also do movies.
We do.
This is our first.
We don't all go see movies, but...
we do them.
Right. We do them.
Yes.
Hard.
With the lights down low and the music soft.
Between the sheets. Mission Impossible 3.
In honor of Tom Cruise Week.
Right. It's Tom Cruise Week?
Yeah, well, the Tom Cruise show from last time.
this week is now too, apparently.
Yep, it's every week is Tom Cruise Week.
Oh, yeah.
Iceman cometh.
So, Mission Impossible 3. Just to give a little background into the movie, I guess the plot. 6 years after Mission Impossible 2, Tom Cruise returns to one of his signature roles as secret agent Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible 3, or as... Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report called it meh. In this sequel, obviously the second sequel to the original, Hunt confronts the toughest villain he's ever faced, Owen Davian, who's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's one of my favorite actors.
Very good. Accomplished.
He's an international weapons and information provider with no remorse and no conscience.
Very nice.
Which makes him a good villain.
No conscience.
So here we have Hunt interrogating Davian, looking for information about yet another super weapon.
And you're going to tell us everything. Every buyer you've worked with, every organization.
What the hell is your name?
Names, contacts, inventory lists.
You have a wife, girlfriend.
It's up to you how this goes.
Because you know what I'm going to do next?
You're glib.
I'm going to find her. Whoever she is, I'm going to find her and I'm going to hurt her.
You were apprehended carrying details of the location of something codenamed the Rabbit's Foot.
I'm going to make her bleed and cry and call out your name.
Oh, yeah. What is a rabbit's foot?
And I'm going to kill you right in front of her.
I'm going to ask you one more time.
What's your name?
What is a rabbit's foot?
Who are you?
And who's the buyer?
You don't have any idea what the hell's going on, do you?
Yeah, that's when it gets dangerous.
That's what Tom does to Katie, actually. Every day.
Yeah. So that Davian character, I don't know if you guys got it from that. He's a bad guy.
Sounds that way.
Mm-hmm. This one is actually co-written and directed by J.J. Abrams, who we talk about on the show a lot, obviously, because he is the creator of Lost and Alias, and of course, Felicite.
Felicite.
As George W. Bush would call it, Felicite. With Mission Impossible 3, Abrams and Cruise, they try to hark back to the best aspects of the original TV series, which I never have even seen a single episode of. Yep. At all.
It was a bit before your time.
Yeah.
All
and
of
mine.
Times.
That,
thank goodness.
Let's see. Kind of deals with, you know, a well-connected team of agents, intense stunts, and elaborate plot twists and turns. But there's a love story, too. And in the next clip, Ethan Hunt tries to connect with his wife, Julia, who looks suspiciously like his real life. Are they married?
Not yet.
Not yet.
His real life lady, Katie Holmes.
What's wrong? What are you not telling me?
I need to ask you for something. It's the most... Oh, yeah. I need you to trust me.
He cannot deliver a line.
He sounds like the Emperor. It's very scary.
Good times.
That's a movie I want to see.
That's my remake.
You're Glenn.
Now, so I keep forgetting to check the box office. How's it's doing not as good as the first two, right?
Okay.
No, it was still number one last weekend, but only like 25 million or something.
It underperformed first week, and then it was number one second week, but still a big drop off.
So whose fault is that? Is it the movie not being good? Is it Tom Cruise? Him, you know, people kind of just being burned out on him?
I don't know. Let's ask Jared.
And what do you think of the movie also, Jeff?
Well, okay. My first impression when I left the theater was that this film should win the award for this summer movie with the most breaking glass. And they tend to break windows and other scientific instruments and everything
break
else.
Wind.
No, not breaking wind, breaking glass. You know, I liked the film. I thought it was a good film. Not a great film, but it was good. It's definitely Tom Cruise at his best. He's being intense. And that's what he does. He's intense.
Thank you.
Thank you. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I think J.J. Abrams was a good choice for this type of material. Obviously, he did Alias. He's familiar with the whole team-based spy-type genre. And, you know, at times it felt like Alias, a TV series, but that's not a bad thing.
Let me interrupt you. J.J. loved in Alias to have people running. Was there a lot of running
there
in this movie?
There is tons of running. In fact, you may have seen some interviews with Cruise where he talks about his sprint training and how he had to run flat out during a scene in Shanghai. And
wow.
He runs.
Sprint training, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
That's running. That's
like teaching my kid to walk, you know?
So the whole Alias, the movie metaphor, kind of goes as far as having the Marshall-type character, the scientific guy who is back at base doing feeding information and happens to be played by Shaun of the Dead in this one. Hmm. Like, the best parts of the film were the big team missions where they had the big elaborate plan and the fancy gadgets and everything's clicking, everything's moving perfectly. And then, of course, something invariably goes wrong and they have to improvise. But those are the best parts. The only downside of that is that you have these interesting supporting characters that they don't really flesh out. Other than the Ving Rhames character, and I can't remember his name. But since he's been in the other films, you already have a little bit of background. But the other two parts of the characters of the team, they're there as part of the team.
Window dressing.
And that's it. Let's see. It was a bit cliched in the beginning in the fact that they do what has been done in other films where the main character has retired from something and now he has to get wooed back. So Ethan Hunt has retired from field operations and is getting wooed back for one last mission to save a friend.
Of course.
So it's a good movie. I think the Mission Impossible series has been a decent set of films. I'm just not quite sure if there's any life left in it. So this maybe the last one.
Now, Adam posed an interesting question. Why do you think this movie is underperforming? Is it because people are scared of wacko Tom Cruise, or are people not connecting with the film?
You're glib. No, I think his overexposure has a lot to do with it. I think you have too much of one thing out there and people don't care. If Tom Cruise hadn't been in the limelight for the past 2 years with his crazy Scientology antics, mm-hmm. I think people would be like, oh, you know, I think I'm ready for another dose of Tom Cruise. But, you know, it's not hard to find him if you really want some Tom Cruise.
Absolutely. He's out there.
Oh, yeah.
So give us a score on this movie.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So a pretty decent score for
yeah,
our first
I'd say go
movie.
See it. It's a good film. Good spy film.
All right, there you go.
You hesitated when you said movie. Like you wanted to call it something else.
Yeah, well, I was never a big fan of the Mission Impossible film, so I might have a different opinion to that. Anyway, I think we have one more review before the random review of the week.
Yes,
Adam,
we do.
Take over.
All right. Last one is Scrubs, the third season DVD.
Woo!
Very nice.
What's the current season that's on TV right
now? Five.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Incidentally, ordered for another season, but not on the schedule.
It's scheduled as a mid-season replacement. It's on there.
In other words, they're planning for something to fail.
Yep. Right. It's always good, isn't it?
So the third season, Scrubs, which was created by Bill Lawrence, is an intern's eye view of hospital life and torturous, tragic, and triumphant route to becoming a doctor.
Great alliteration.
Thank you. I wrote it myself.
I bet.
Everyone's favorite, Zach Braff, heads the cast as newbie, JD, who I just recently found out what that stands for on one of the most recent episodes. I didn't know before.
What does it stand for?
I forget.
Jonathan Dorian.
Yeah, Jonathan Dorian. Thank you. Whose years of medical school haven't quite prepared him for his chaotic life at Sacred Heart Hospital, where the show takes place. Scrubs has stretched its legs in season 3 and kind of gave depth into more of the characters. Turk and Carla, who are played by everyone's favorite Donald Faison and Judy Reyes.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
That's me.
Planning their season finale wedding. JD once again wrestles with his feelings for fellow resident Elliot, who's played by Sarah Chalk, who was the replacement Becky on Roseanne.
Is it Chalk or Chalky?
It is Chalk. She's pronounced it as Chalk. Okay. I just learned that a couple
Fair
weeks
enough.
Ago.
She's Canadian.
I did not know that.
I don't
William
know.
William Shatner.
I might be making that up.
Let's pretend.
I think she might be Canadian. How about that? But her reciprocity starts, leads to a revelation. What?
We won't say what that is.
Yeah. We don't want to spoil it. We spoiled all the shows that were just on this week that you might still have, DVR'd, but not a show that was on 2 years ago. Good. Consistency, Shane.
I haven't seen season 3 yet, so quiet.
Me either.
Well, quiet, you.
It's okay. I don't mind it getting spoiled for me. Scrubs also had numerous guest stars, including Michael J. Fox, Scott Foley, Tara Reid, and Brendan Fraser. He gets very mad when people say Fraser.
Yep. Joe Frazier.
Too bad. But the heart of the show still revolves around the main cast. In one of the clips we're going to listen to, JD watches Turk as he searches for his lucky charm.
Oh, there's my lucky Tabasco do-rag.
Why don't you just use Power Rangers?
Oh, yeah.
Power Rangers as lucky as Tabasco?
Do you remember when communications with Zordon went down and the Megazord was destroyed?
How did I miss that episode? Oh, that's right. I was making love to a woman.
Power Rangers, ho!
Oh, God.
Good times.
You know, and they say the show's dumbed down this season, and it's, I think I heard that exact joke already this year. The third season DVD is packed with special features, including 2-episode commentaries. Really? That's it?
That's it.
Numerous mini-documentaries, outtakes, and deleted scenes. One documentary covers the odd phenomenon of the Scrubs cast and crew bringing their dogs to work. Not everyone likes the canines. Listen in as the Scrubs cast talks about John C. McGinley's not so subtle feelings towards the dogs.
Johnny C. hates the dogs. Did you get any of that?
Oh, we're not putting the goddamn dogs.
Yes, we are.
Jesus Christ. I hate the dogs. I hate them.
John McGinley offered to put 2 of his dogs down as a goodwill gesture just to be able to kill some of the dogs that just stay around there and yap all day.
I don't hate any more dogs more than any other. I hate them all. I hate every one of them.
I like that he is his character. That's
yeah, he embodies that.
If you don't watch the show, that's pretty much the character he plays.
He hates everything. He calls men by women's names.
So while season 3 and I guess, you know, all of Scrubs has been loved by critics and a small but loyal fan base, is the DVD worth the purchase, Shane?
I think it is, actually. Now, you got to remember that Scrubs, I think, for the past 5 years has consistently been one of the best comedies on television. You know, at the same time, it's not your standard comedy. I mean, we're dealing with something that's one camera, and Scrubs likes to go into the tragedy of things a lot. So you'll get a mixture of laughter and tears. A lot of people die. I mean, it is a hospital, so they don't sugarcoat that. But the show still is successful, and it manages to mirror the crazy pratfalls and antics of the staff with this tragedy. The cool thing about this season is Sarah Chalk finally came into her own. I mean, this was the season where she turned into hot Elliot rather than goofball Elliot, who was just kind of a loser. And
I knew what I'm watching today.
Yeah, she in the first two seasons, she really wasn't that confident compared to what she is now. But, I mean, it was really almost over the top, I think. So I kind of like that. And she's a pretty good actress as well. Now, the DVD itself is a package. It probably isn't the best thing you're going to get out there. They packed all 22 episodes onto 3 discs. Ooh. So there's a little bit of artifacting, and you know, the picture quality isn't as great as it could be. And keep in mind, it's a television show. It's not some great film or something like that that's going to warrant the perfect transfer. So that is something to keep in mind. And the extras aren't all that impressive. I mean, it's your standard documentaries. I mean, when I'm pulling clips for dogs, you know, dogs running around the hospital, I mean, that's kind of the quality you're going to get. There are some funny outtakes and things of that nature, but overall, I think you're buying it for the show. You're not buying it for the extras. And
yeah, pretty much.
Any comments from you guys? I know you don't own the DVD, but you have seen Scrubs, so you might have something to say.
Well, I'm going to ask to borrow it from you. I started watching Scrubs just this year. Mm-hmm. I think I'd maybe seen 2 or 3 episodes the previous 4 or 5 years or whatever, just because I happened to be watching TV when they were on. I thought they were funny or whatever, but nothing that I would always watch. But I don't know, I think I was talking to you one day at work about it, and I decided, you know, because I don't have, I was like, nothing conflicts, so why not? And really found myself enjoying it. And people have been saying this is, you know, the one of the weaker seasons.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me want to go back and see what was even better, because I like these. So I got nothing to say about season 3.
All right.
Except I find it hard to believe Sarah Chalk was not at least cute.
She was cute, but now she's hot. Jared. Okay.
I started watching Scrubs last season at Shane's urging.
Yes.
I had ignored it for years. I don't know why.
You maybe just wanted to say Shane's urging.
At Shane's urging.
Gross.
And so I've watched season 4 and 5 now, and I've since watched season 1 and 2 on DVD, and 3 is the one in the middle I have not gotten to watch yet, and I'm very excited. I own it. I just have to find the time to pop it in, and I enjoy the show quite a bit.
All right. Well, let's give this a score and move on to the random review.
The Soap score is 3 stars.
Went down a little bit because of the quality of the DVD, but I think the show itself...
Was it cheaper than usual
TV sets? It wasn't. It was like $30, something like that. But, you know, the show itself is probably pretty close to a 4-star. I mean, you're not going to get too many comedies on television better than this. So, yeah, I think that leaves us with our final review of the day, our random
get ready
review.
For the random review of the week. It could be appalling, it could be incredible, but it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
Adam?
Everyone remembers, of course, that we were very excited when the random review wheel showed us that we're going to be doing Family Guy.
Yes.
This time. Family Guy is one of our, I think, enjoyable shows.
I'd say we all like it.
We all like it.
Definitely.
Good. I didn't want to put words in anyone's mouth.
Thank goodness.
So on this episode, an untitled Griffin history, they kind of channel The Simpsons. The episode starts with a break-in, and Peter has to usher the family quickly into a room that he's built.
Well, I got the idea to build a panic room after I saw that movie, The Butterfly Effect. I thought, wow, this is terrible. I wish I could escape to a place where this movie couldn't find me, and then...
What the hell are we waiting for?
These monitors are for watching the house. See, there's Stewie's room, Chris's room, Meg's room.
Peter, there's no phone in here. How are we going to call the police?
Oh, my God, we're all going to die.
That's not true. We'll survive by eating each other.
The plot of the show, if you want to call it that, is that they're stuck in the room. So to pass the time, Peter tells the stories of past Griffins, you know, throughout history. It starts from man evolving, you know, from single cell organisms. And he goes kind of way too far back. And like I mentioned, it's kind of like The Simpsons, because I think there have been about 9 episodes of The Simpsons that have done the exact same mm-hmm. thing.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because on the very same night, The Simpsons also had an evolution joke.
Right. Which is very good.
It's very odd.
One of the Griffins from years past was named Moses Griffin.
All right, it's going to be a long journey, everyone, but I will lead you to freedom. Now, choose ho! Here we are, the Red Sea. Now, all we got to do is swim across.
I didn't bring my trunks.
I don't want to step on a shell.
I can't get water in my ears.
I ate 20 minutes ago.
You know what they flush in Cairo ends up right here.
I think I heard my mom there.
Yeah.
they come up with a plan to, since you know they're locked in the room and they have no phone, as was pointed out in the first clip. They decide that Meg can go to try to get help. Instead, she's caught by the kidnappers.
Ooh.
And as everyone knows, Meg is ugly. Everyone that watches the show anyway knows right. that Meg is ugly. You can't really tell it's, you know, an animated show. But she does try really hard to find the affections of the of the burglars, who aren't really kidnappers. But
so is this like the part where you guys have your way with me?
What?
You know, where I'm like helpless and you guys take turns.
Not
you
hot.
Know?
Oh no! Oh God! Oh no! 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 No!
What did you say?
She asked if we were gonna have our way with her.
Ew.
I love that he's chiming in from the kitchen or something.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
A few other famous Griffins from history were a slave that Al Cowling's on his Bronco. The horse kind helped escape. And Peter Hitler, who is Hitler's cousin, I guess,
Just praise for the affections of his relative.
Eventually, they find a flare gun, and while Brian thinks the best idea to use it would be to shoot it down the vent to try to get the attention of someone outside, Peter decides to just shoot it in the room, causing the sprinklers to go off.
that dopey Peter.
Right. So they're locked in. They can't call anyone. They are stuck in a room filling up with water, and they decide to debate something that I feel is very important to debate.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
How can you even say that, Dad?
Didn't like it.
Peter, it's so good. It's like the perfect movie.
This is what everyone always says. Whenever they say, oh,
Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. Never see... Robert Duvall!
Fine actor. Did not like the movie.
Why not?
Couldn't get into it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself, Lois.
What?
It insists upon itself.
What does that even mean?
Because it has a valid point to make. It's insisting.
It takes forever getting in. You know, you spend like 6.5 hours, and then, you know, I can't even get through. I can't even finish the movie. I've never even seen the ending.
You've never seen the ending?
Well, how can you say you don't like it if you haven't even given it a chance?
I agree with Joey. It's not really fair.
I have tried on 3 separate occasions to get through it, and I get to the scene where all the guys are sitting around on the easy chairs.
Yeah, it's a great scene. I love that scene.
It's not a great scene. In every annal.
I have no idea what they're talking about. It's like they're speaking a different language. That's where I lose interest and
you know
I go away.
They're speaking Italian.
The language they're speaking is a language of subtlety, something you don't understand.
I love the money pit. That is my answer to that statement.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Whatever.
I like that movie, too.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. And immediately after that, they're freed, and that's the end of the show. I did want to include that clip because it might come as a surprise to some people. I agree with Peter.
Wow.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's not as good as most people make it.
Does it insist upon itself?
So
it
does.
To sum up, Money Pit good, Godfather bad.
Never seen The Money Pit, so I can't comment on that.
What do you think of The Family Guy, Adam?
I like the episode. I gave it a 3, I guess.
I don't think it was as good as other Family Guy episodes, but I really enjoyed the Godfather debate at the end.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. A lot of my notes come right from Adam, so yes, very Simpsons-esque story. They hate Meg a lot, and it seems to be hating her a lot more as the season goes on.
That's true.
And I like the joke and the Judith Light cameo from the Tony Danza era. Now, if you haven't seen the show, it doesn't mean anything, and it barely means anything anyway, but I like the fact they got her voice. So let's assign this bad boy a score.
The Soap score is 2.75 stars.
That's what I meant.
Very nice.
Perfect.
So we're going to be putting the random review of the week on hold for at least a couple episodes, or at least one Scope show, because we're kind of moving into the summer TV season, and we need everything to kind of reset itself. And we won't review reruns of shows. So next time you hear this show coming out of your headphones or wherever, we will be doing probably some sort of crazy reality show involving angry cooks or people locked in buildings for months at a time.
Perfect.
So let's move on to the coming soon section.
Yes,
we're trying
finally
to speed it up, so let's do this.
All right, so coming soon, we've got a couple of movies, and yeah, we'll just go through them. First, this Friday, X-Men The Last Stand, or X-Men 3, or X3, whatever you want to call it. Bryan Singer not directing this one. Instead, Brett Ratner is. Brett Ratner directed The Money Train.
Rush Hour 1 and 2.
Bryan Singer doing Superman, which comes out end of
June. Will Chris Tucker make a guest appearance?
I hope so. Yes. It's actually him, not Kelsey Grammer playing Beast.
Wow. Very shocking news.
Right. So early buzz I was hearing, not good, but like I said earlier, the Ebert and Ropers, they liked it. So
I think we're all going to try to see this movie.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. So some of us. So there probably will be a review.
Right.
Next.
Following Friday, The Breakup, which of course is the famous Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn movie, you know, where they started dating and stuff on the set of this. It's a romantic comedy about a couple that breaks up, but, you know, one won't move out, and I'm sure at the end they probably get back together, but I'm sorry if I ruined the movie.
You'd probably be right.
Why would Hollywood do that?
That's June 2nd, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That one, I will wait for DVD. I like Vince Vaughn a lot. Jennifer Aniston has actually taken good movie roles, post-Friends career. The Good Girl, the best example of that.
Polly.
Right. You guys going to see?
I would like to see that.
I think I would too. Yeah, okay. It looks interesting.
Let's all go together.
Yes.
Holding hands. Music. The Dixie Chicks' new album comes out this Tuesday.
Woo!
Shane made mention of maybe us all listening to that to review it and hopefully not like it, because that would...
And then he put down the crack pipe.
Good radio.
Yeah.
Right. The Walkman, 100 Miles Off, also comes out the same day. Shane, what's that?
They are a big buzz band from a couple years ago. Alternative, kind of came out at the same time as the Strokes. They were part of the craze that was the bands that had the word "the" in it. So they've got their follow-up album.
They are a part of the then
I must
a noun,
have missed that.
Not yep. the and then verb, like the Strokes are.
Yeah, exactly.
Phoenix, a new album of theirs is coming out. I don't know who they are.
Another indie type band. Right. I threw that one in there for Al, our music guy, because he loves Phoenix.
I'm glad he's partaking, because I don't know what these people are.
Also,
it'll be giving
you
a chance
soon,
to check it out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What you described as the Blink 182 spinoff,
kind of
Angels
yeah.
and
well,
Airwaves.
Well, Blink 182 is done, isn't
yeah.
it?
But
so
who's
the lead
in this?
Singer of Blink, right?
Yeah. Well, they both sang, so.
So anyway,
who, is it? Which one is it? Who cares? Move on.
It's the whiny voice guy, I believe.
Yeah, okay,
from Blink 182.
So that's coming out soon, and yep. I've heard the album. And
is Travis Barker the drummer on there?
I don't believe he is. Hmm. He's got a different project.
He's like doing like hip hop stuff.
Yep.
It's not super punky either.
Okay. Well,
and I like pop punk. Coming out the DVD, Blood Rain, which I'd forgotten even... What, did that come out in the theaters?
Yes, very quickly.
Okay.
Terrible.
Didn't that have Terminator 3 in it? What's her name? Locan? Yeah.
Lindsay
Let's
Lohan.
Say
yes.
No.
Lindsay Lohan in that movie.
Cheaper by the Dozen 2 also comes out this Tuesday, and The 4400 Season 2 comes out this Tuesday.
Just in time for Season 3 to debut on USA.
On USA, yeah. There's another sci-fi show that I watched 2 episodes of, could not stand, and stopped watching.
Oh, wow. I enjoyed it. Okay. And I'm looking forward
and
to
it. And I know
three.
That Shane watched it, too.
In the middle of it, yes.
Okay. Following.
Here we go. Just for you, Adam.
Following week, great. It's going to be pretty much the best week of DVDs ever. Not only do we get Smokey and the Bandit Special Edition.
Wow.
Which Shane has labeled a double dip because it's a special edition, because the original edition.
You came could
out
just
already.
Say that it's a double dip and not point out every time that I've labeled it as a double dip. You're two but for two.
We should have a special double dip sound effect just for that.
So not only does that come out, and obviously I've already pre-ordered, Joey Season 1 comes out next to, in 2 Tuesdays, and that's necessary.
Yeah. Will they just slap on whatever they had done for Season 2 and call it a
they
day?
They probably should.
I hope so.
Slapping
Joey,
trash.
The complete series.
And not only that, Alf season 3, which I believe was the last season.
I have no idea.
I think it was only 3 seasons long. Alf, by the way, if
three
no one's ever
seasons.
heard me rant about it, it's not a good show. So don't stop buying their stuff.
We will. Actually, I'm requiring everyone on the Scope staff to buy this and watch every episode and review it for our next show.
It's some of the worst TV that was ever produced. Yeah. People are fond of it, and I'm not sure why. It's not good.
You hate puppets.
I do. TV, some summer series are starting. Last Comic Standing, the first two seasons of which I liked. Second, not so much, but the first one I really liked. That starts May 30th. Rescue Me, and I think another FX show starts also on May 30th.
Okay.
FX, of course, has very good.
Would it be the Shield? That might be the Shield. That was their other big series.
No, because that one's follows somewhat of a more standard thing. And The Hills, which is another Laguna Beach spinoff. Mm-hmm. Maybe more. That starts the following day on MTV.
The main character from the first season of Laguna Beach goes off to work in a magazine.
Great.
It's not real.
Hell.
It's not. It's
like
not a reality show, and it's not a drama.
Don't tell that to my wife.
Ooh.
And comics.
Ooh.
52, week 3. I have not been reading this at all. Have you, Shane?
No, I have not.
Okay, then we can stop putting it on here.
The follow-up to Infinite Crisis.
Well, there's other people
much.
Who might want to know. It's not all about us. It's about serving the public.
It's unique in the sense that it is a weekly comic book for 52 weeks.
And it's in real time.
In real time.
Quote, unquote.
So, I mean, I think that's notable.
Right. If
like, 20,
like 24
money.
Of the comic.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
If we wanted to, we could explain that Infinite Crisis is basically a year ahead, and mm-hmm. this is explaining what happened in that missing year of time.
Yeah.
Because the big three were not around, right?
No, well, let me explain that. Infinite Crisis happened, and then every single comic book skipped ahead a year.
Right.
And then now they're filling the year in with 52.
And it's mostly the B-level.
Yeah, it's
heroes,
these
right?
characters that no one really cares about that right. much, but you have to buy right. it anyway.
And the other big book coming out this Wednesday, issue 4?
I believe it's 4 or 5.
Yep, of Next Wave, Agents of Hate, which has become my favorite... not serious comic book
mm-hmm.
That I've ever read.
Takes minor characters from the Marvel Universe, puts them in a big action movie type situation, yes. and lets them blow stuff
yes.
up.
Yes, it's hilarious. The viewer male in the back is hilarious. I'm blanking on his name now. The writer's
Warren
name.
Warren Ellis.
Yeah, Ellis.
Ooh,
I'm very.
There we go. That's a name even I know.
I'm very love hate with his stuff.
Yep.
This is the best Warren Ellis work.
This
I've
is
ever
love.
Read.
Yes. Pornographic love.
So hold up your left fist.
And that's it. That's all that's coming soon. There's nothing else in the world that's coming out soon.
Not fantastic 2 weeks of stuff, but X-Men looks to be a standout. So let's wrap up Under the Scope. Under the Scope. It's everybody's favorite part of the show. Viewer mail. Jared, take it away.
Well, listener mail more.
Listener mail. All right,
I love to
say viewer.
I got a couple of messages this week from different people. This one is from Adam Laszlo. I like the show! ! Showing his enthusiasm. I found myself commenting now and again. Considering the scope is still in its infancy, it's entertaining and comes off like you all have been doing this for years. And it could give my manifest about Mandy Patinkin, but I'll spare you. Thank
we
you.
Actually have been doing it for years. This show. This particular episode.
Thanks and keep up the good work. I'm hooked, says Adam Laszlo.
Adam?
Thank you, Adam Laszlo. I'm glad you solved your download issues and you actually have the show now.
Super.
Second message from A. Jacqueline. I so appreciate the random reviews. Good to know you have opinions, regardless of subject matter, and will willingly dive into such topics as Mandy Patinkin's career
wow.
and his inferiority to Hope and Faith. Please keep it up. I encourage you.
We shall.
Good. You know what? I'm going to throw in a third one, too, because I feel like it. From John. John, a longtime listener.
Yeah.
This show has progressed greatly in just 3 episodes. Shane is in top form with his soothing, albeit firm, NPR voice. Jared and Adam are warming up into a more natural conversation, and the show as a whole has gotten tighter, even though it keeps running longer. Congratulations on the ever-evolving juggernaut that is The Scope.
Hey, don't editorialize the viewer comments.
I'm not. That's exactly what it says.
Oh, did he say longer? Okay.
He did.
Just read Fantastic. What's on the page.
Was that it for our...
That's it for comments.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Jared, do you have anything you want to mention here before we close this show up?
Yes. If you have comments, you can always email them to us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Not a lot of people using that. Really encourage you to do so.
We love it when it happens.
You can also visit the website and do what everyone seems to be doing and comments. The website is thescopeshow.com. Or, if you want to see us succeed and get the big salaries we all deserve, vote for us over at Podcast Alley. That's podcastalley.com. I believe there's a link directly to our post somewhere on the website. So go over there. And this week's Scope Sounds was from Laser Love. Then that's available at myspace.com/laserlovemusic.
Adam, anything you need to plug? Anything? Anything going on in your life?
No kickball this week. We have a bye week. We are going to see the Twins instead. That's a baseball team.
So we can check you out at the Twins game.
Yeah, you can check me out. At the
what section will you be in?
I'll be signing autographs. I don't know. There are $21 tickets. That's all I know.
Ooh.
So I guess good. Lower box, I think, is
fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I've got nothing to plug, but I will talk about our next episode. Adam, Jared, and myself will be going in-depth. We'll be doing a full review of the 2005-2006 television schedule. What happened, what we thought was great, what was terrible, and... other random stuff. So get ready for that. It's going to be fantastic.
Woo.
So for everybody here at The Scope, thanks for listening. Tune in next time, and we'll make it shorter somehow, I promise. Good night.
I'm Stewie Griffin, and I'm going to be kicking my dad's ass all day today.